Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Welcome. We are here. I did not forget about the stream. I had couches being delivered as I was about to hit the live button, so I had to go get those. And when I say being delivered, I don't literally mean a demon was cast out of my couch. I mean those delivery drivers that were unloading a couch that we got for our house, so I had to work with that. So yeah, some of you are like, what, your couch? Your couch had demons? Isaiah, you think everything has demons. No, my couch did not have demons, although, no, it didn't have demons. Anyways, welcome to the broadcast, guys. Let me know where you're tuning in from. We're on episode 69 of Let's Talk Supernatural, our call-in show. It's going to be an amazing time. Right after this broadcast, we have our drumroll weekly partner prayer meeting. So if you are a monthly partner on YouTube or on website, I was going to say Facebook. There's no monthly partners on Facebook. On our website or on YouTube, you should have the code to join our weekly partner call. But today's fun because we hang out, we ask questions, answer questions, and then sometimes I pray for you. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you. But specifically, this is a question stream. So you call in. The number is going to be on screen in a moment. Don't worry. I'll explain how to work it. You call in and then you ask, how many questions, chat? Does each person get to ask one question? Because there's a lot of people waiting. And truth is, I only get to like 8 people, usually 10 people, if that, in an hour. Sometimes I get through 5. Sometimes I get through 10. It just all depends on how long the questions are. And if I decide to preach a whole sermon or not, which I usually do when I answer questions because I'm long-winded and I have a lot of stuff that I want to say. But with that being said, I appreciate all of you being here. It's Thursday afternoon. We just started doing these Thursday afternoon. So some of you, this is the only time you get to watch. Appreciate you. Welcome. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you like the broadcast. February 24th, I'll be in Antioch, California. March 3rd, I'll be at 5 services at my home church, Lifesong Church in Stockton, California. And then July 19th through the 21st, I'll be in Washington at revivalinthedesert.com. We're live Monday at 6, Tuesday at 6, and Thursday at noon. And then Thursday at 1:30 p.m., we have our prayer meeting, which is going to be great today. It's different, going to be different every time. This next week, I'll be in Washington on Thursday, but I'm going to try to grab my laptop and do my prayer stream from the hotel. So we'll see how that works out. I'll let you guys know. Okay, in 30 seconds, there's going to be a number on screen. We're going to explain how to do this. If you're inside the United States, you're going to dial the phone number. And then it's going to ask you, they're going to say, please type in the meeting ID. Then you're going to type in the meeting ID on your phone. Okay, so if I'm in the US, Isaiah, what do I do? Call the phone number and then type in the meeting ID. If I'm outside of the United States, what am I going to do? I'm going to open the Zoom app and type in the meeting ID on the Zoom app and join that way. Because otherwise I have to put like 1,000 numbers of every international place and it just doesn't work out good. So just, if you're outside the US, join on Zoom. If you're inside, call the number and then typing the meeting ID. When I take your call, it's going to be random based on my list here. When I answer your call, please mute me in the background. I'd love to hear how you found the stream or, you know, all that good stuff. And then ask your question and then I'll answer it and we'll talk and then I can pray for you as well. But don't just call and say, hey, I have a prophetic dream to interpret. Or hey, I need deliverance. Or hey, can you just pray for me? Because it's a question show. We have a lot of streams where we pray, a lot of live streams like that. But this is specifically questions where we talk and hang out. We're going to do this for about an hour. So here we go. Are you guys ready? Drum roll, please. There's 500 of you waiting. Thank you for being here. Let's talk supernatural. There's the number. I'm going to hold my finger on the lock button when I get it, like, you know, 7 to 10 people in. I'm going to lock it. So it's the first 7 to 10 people to call, and then we lock it. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Let me unmute this. See who's getting the fastest. There's always one person that gets in right away. There they are. And then the rest, they all get in slower. So let me hold the lock button here. And I will take this call. All right. Let's wait for these last people to load in. I'm holding the lock button. It's going to be all at once, probably, the way it works. Dial, dial, dial. I need the Jeopardy music going. Dun, dun, dun. All right. Okay. It's locked. 7 people in. If we get through these people, we'll reopen it. There's still hope for you. Just depends. Some people drop out and all that. It's unpredictable. So there's still hope for some of you. So now the lines are closed, meaning you can't call in anymore. That's what the lines are full means. Maybe I should put the lines are closed because people are still going to say, can I still call? But with that being said, there you go. Let's take our first caller. Here we go. You know, guys, I have to say, before I take our first caller, I worked at Starbucks for 3 years, and it was every single, I worked the drive-thru, and I was always like, what was my thing? It was always, thank you for choosing Starbucks. What could I get started for you today? I said that line a million times working at Starbucks, and this was in 2009, 2010, and 2011. I worked at Starbucks, 3 years. And I always had that same line. And I feel that way when I take these calls. I'm like, thank you so much for calling in. Now I'm going to say, what can I get started for you today? Oh, man, that's in my head. All right. I'm all messed up now. All right, Isaiah, you're not serving coffee. Here you go. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Dylan Beamer from Texas.
How are you, Dylan?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Good. What's going on today?
Not a whole lot. Hey, I just wanted to ask if you've ever thought about making a course on creating something like you did your Deliverance website for just people in ministry and wanting to teach people how to become disciples.
Oh, you mean like a map? Like a making a map?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you said
kinda
course,
like that.
But like an interactive map.
Yeah, like I want to make what you have done for the Deliverance map, but I want to do it for someone that wants to sign up to disciple people.
So do you want to do the discipling and you want people to sign up so you can disciple them, or you want to sign up to be discipled?
Yeah, I want to get a group of people that are willing to be disciple people so that someone that needs discipleship can go find that person and...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's an amazing idea. I'm just, now you're getting my wheels turning because now I'm like, maybe we should do that. I'm just thinking about the logistics of it. One of the hard parts, even with the Deliverance map, is I have on there like, this is at your own risk because I can't vet every person. So when people sign up for the Deliverance map, we basically do a FaceTime call with them. We have an application and we kind of see, you know, where they're at. Some people get approved, some people get denied, and we tell them why they got denied. But even at the end of the day, people still can lie. People can still manipulate and get on the map. So literally every single day, we have someone that spends several hours a day going through emails, adding people, removing people, calling people, emailing people, trying to keep up. It's a lot of work. So the only problem I'm thinking is, when you have, like, say, a discipleship map, it's that same type of work it's going to be to try to keep the map going, to make sure people are doing things right, teaching right doctrine. With Deliverance, it's a little more niche. It's a little more narrow, like, this is what they're doing. So it's a lot harder to go off track. But with discipleship or teaching doctrine or teaching Bible study, you open it up to a very broad spectrum of people. And so my only concern would be, is being able to make sure they're teaching the right doctrine. They're not using it as a means of, you know, manipulating people, gaining money. Like, for example, the Deliverance map. We have people on there and they're literally trying to promote, you know, their deliverances, and they're making money. Like, they're turning it into a business. So we've told people you cannot charge. You cannot put that you're charging. If you do Deliverance and somebody blesses you, that's fine. But you can't turn the Deliverance map into, hey, I have a business of casting out demons and I'll cast out demons for you, you know, $50 a person and stuff like that. It just doesn't, it's not good to do. And that's not what we want the map to be. So my only concern with it was be, would people use it to promote their ministry, which people still do that with our map that we have to constantly tell them not to, or are people going to use it because they want to dominate people and control people and lead people? Sometimes people aren't ready to lead.
Spread Jesus. That's all we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You do. And you're amazing. Right. Yeah. And you're pure. But there's a lot of people out there that just want a following. They just want a pastor. So when you have like a local church, usually there's a protocol of becoming a leader or a pastor, and people around you see it in you and they see the call of God and they pray for you. And then you go through the order. With this, it would kind of be like anybody can do it. So the only trouble I see is making sure that people aren't doing it in the wrong intentions. And I just don't know. I'd have to really pray about it. I'm glad you brought up the idea, but
Since you have had the Deliverance map, I'm just looking for someone to teach me how you did that so I can do that legwork.
Yeah. You talking about creating the map?
Like figuring out how you created that so I can...
Yeah, so it's not hard. It's Atlas. I believe the company's called Atlas Maps. And when you sign up on Atlas, you're able to make a custom map. And you can add pins and do all this stuff. It's really simple, the company that did it. The trouble we had was they never had anyone have thousands of pins. They usually have like maybe 5 or 10 pins. Mm-hmm. So I had to keep talking to the company to try to increase the amount of pins and get a custom account. And they've helped me in all that along the way. but it's very simple to do. I just don't know right now. It's a great idea. I just don't know right now in my life if I have the bandwidth capacity, you know, finances to hire another person to try to run it. And yeah, it's just been, the deliverance map has definitely been a labor of love and time consuming financially. It's, you know, it's expensive to run it and to pay someone to run it and do all the stuff we're doing. And of course we don't charge, so we don't make any money off of it. But with another map, I'm just thinking like, ooh, I don't know if I have the time or energy or finances to run another one.
But I do. So that's why I wanted to ask you where
That'd be great, man. Starting a discipleship map. I think that'd be awesome. I think there's a need for it. And hey, maybe if you get something going and I see it and go, hey, maybe you can help me run it or something like that, that could be something we can talk about. But right now, just for me, I don't know if I want the liability, or unless God tells me to, and I'm going to pray into it. I'm glad you brought it up in this call, because I'll definitely pray about it. And it's needed. There's definitely people out there that need discipleship. So yeah, it's a great idea.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Isaiah.
Yeah. And I would also say one more recommendation is, I know Diane's saying there's discipleship training in the Discord server. Have you checked out the Discord server at all? Yeah, so that's something too, that maybe getting discipleship or connecting with people on Discord could be good.
Very good. Thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Thanks so much, bro. Have a great day.
God bless you. See you.
All right, God bless. Really great great question, guys. I don't know why I can't say great lately. I keep saying great. Really great question with the deliverance map. I know some of you are negative about it. You're like, what about experience? Or they didn't call me back. You guys got to remember, we're talking about thousands of people we're working with, we're trying to maintain and talk with and help, and there's a lot of nuances with deliverance. There's people on my map that have never even seen my content. I'm like, how are you on my deliverance map? You've never even watched my content. And you have to have my heart, and you have to have my vision with deliverance the way we do it to even really should be on the map, because there's a lot of weird doctrine in deliverance. Now you guys are typing, you're going to make me say it more. And we want to make sure that things are theologically sound and healthy and good for you guys, because we don't just want, you know, random people on there doing whatever. So yeah, I don't know if I'm in the position to do that now, but maybe in the future. Great question nonetheless. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. My name is Jasmine. I'm calling from Thornton, Colorado. I'm like, dang, I didn't think I was going to get on here for real.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm glad that you got through. You said Jasmine. It cut out for a second.
Yes.
Jasmine from Colorado. Well, great to meet you. What's going on today?
Good to meet you. So I recently just like started hearing from God and stuff, because like before I just thought it was like only special people like could hear from God and stuff. But so like I started waking up at like really early in the morning, like 6 a.m. And like I heard this scripture that I didn't even know was a scripture and stuff. So then I looked it up and it was like in the Bible. But I just wanted to know, like, how do you know like what God's talking about? Like if you're praying about a specific thing and then he speaks to you, like is he always like answering that thing? Because I'm like, why is he saying this scripture, you know?
Say it one more time. Is he always what? I missed the last part.
Oh, is he always, like, speaking to the, like, whatever you're praying about, you know?
Yeah. You like, know, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Because, yeah, I'm, like, just kind of getting used to, like, hearing God, you know? Like, before, I'd always just, like, go to church and, like, maybe they're like talking about what I'm going through and I'm like, dang, God's talking to me or like stuff like that. But just like recently in the past couple months, I've been like waking up and like hearing scripture. Or even like last night I prayed and like I heard a scripture and I looked it up and it's like scriptures that I didn't even know that I knew, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's incredible. And that's the beauty of the relationship we have with Christ. Sadly, most Christians in America don't hear God or don't even believe in hearing the voice of God. A lot of pastors preach against, they say, well, we already have the Bible. We don't need, you know, God's already spoken everything he wants to speak, which is completely false. The voice of God is all throughout the scripture. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So like one of the signs that you are a follower and a sheep of God is that they hear the shepherd's voice. And what kind of relationship would we have with someone if we never communicated with them? So God has a desire to speak to us. I think where we miss it is we're waiting for God to speak in the way me and you are speaking. We are audibly speaking, right? I'm speaking. You're hearing me with your physical sense, the sense to hear. And so, but with God, we have to remember God isn't speaking like we speak. God is speaking in the spiritual realm. God is speaking through other people. God is speaking through nature. God can speak through a song. God speaks through pastors. God is speaking through me today, and God is going to be speaking through you today. So we want to hear it as God speaking, because me and you are so used to talking this way, but God speaks in many different mysterious ways. And the Bible says his ways are not our ways. So we always think like, if I was God and I wanted to speak to Jasmine, I would just speak to her, just say it loud and clear right from the heavens. But his ways are not our ways. That's not the way God speaks. And if that's the way God always spoke, we wouldn't need faith, because we'd go, well, no, God speaks audibly to me. So there are, I would say, rare occurrences where God does speak in an audible way. And I've had that happen to me twice in 13 years, like only twice in 13 years. And some people never have that happen, and that's fine. But the most of the time, the way he speaks is through other people, pastors, leaders, preachers, men and women of God, you know, family that are saved, just other Christians. But then also it's a still small voice. And so that is what you sounds like you're starting to tune your ear to, and you're starting to recognize. And now that you're starting to recognize it, it's likely, and this is just to help some of those people in the chat, it's likely God has been speaking to you. You just didn't recognize it. You thought it was your own thoughts. You thought it was just you. Now you're like, oh, yeah, no, that wasn't just me. That's God. Go ahead.
Yeah, that happened to me. I kept thinking, this is just me, until I really wanted to seek out an answer for a specific thing I wanted to ask the Lord. And I was going to go ask my Nino's mom. And I thought about that scripture where it says, there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. And just like you were saying, like, with that scripture that also says, like, my sheep know my voice. Like, I was like telling God, like, Lord, like, I know we're supposed to have a personal relationship with you. You say your sheep know your voice. Like, I want to, you're telling me, like, basically I have to come to you. Like, I can't go to another person to get to you, basically. And, like, so, yeah, like, I prayed, and I was praying about, like, this specific situation, like, I want to answer to, and I keep praying about it. And, like, he keeps giving me these scriptures, and I'm like, wait, so does that mean, like, what I think it means, or...
Yeah,
I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah, and that's something where you're just going to have to continue to use discernment, continue to pray. And for me, this is a big way God speaks, and I have a whole teaching about how God speaks by giving us a peace, okay? So if there's a situation in my life, let's for you, obviously you're at a crossroads, you're about to make a decision, you're praying about something. If I'm going to make a decision and my inside, my spirit, right? I am full of the Holy Spirit. Christ is living in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in me, God is in me. And if I'm going to make a decision that God doesn't want me to make, even if it might feel like a good thing or something I want, I will not feel at peace with it. Like, I've had moments where I'm at the verge of making a decision. Maybe it's through for ministry. Maybe it's through some whatever relationship I'm going to connect with, place I'm going to go preach, a decision for my kids, any decision you can think of. And I want to do it. I feel like it's right. But something in me, Jasmine, just doesn't feel right about it. Something in me is like, there's a no in me. It's not like God says no, but I just don't feel at peace about it, and I just can't do it. I'm like, man, I want to do this, but something is just telling me no. I don't know what it is. So that's God. That's God not giving me a peace about it. Now, the other flip side is like, say I'm praying about a decision to make, and then all of a sudden, not only could I not stop thinking about it, because I've come to find when God speaks to me, it's usually like I can't stop thinking about something. I'm just like, man, I really feel like I have to or need to do this. And then I'm like, oh, it's God telling me to do this. So when I built the studio, I never wanted to build a studio like that, but I felt like God told me to, and then he confirmed it, and then I couldn't stop thinking about it. Then I had a desire to do it. I know I don't have a desire to do it, but God was putting the desire in me. Then God brought people around me that sowed into me financially, and I didn't even ask them. He brought all the finances in. He brought the right realtor, the right person, the right this, the right that, the right house. Like, everything worked out perfect. So I knew it was God. So I would say, if you're getting a peace about it, like, you feel, I feel good about this, go for it. That's probably God speaking to you. Because if you trust that God is in you and God doesn't want you to do that, let's say it's a relationship, and God says no, if you're close to God, then you're going to feel grieved about it. You're going to know, oh, this is God telling me no. So I think too many times we want a million confirmations and we want a million people to confirm it. And God's like, hey, I've already told you yes. You have a peace about it. It's a good thing. Of course, if it wasn't a good thing, you shouldn't do it, but it's a good thing. Then just go for it, because God's voice is oftentimes really mysterious, small voice. We have to remove the distractions. We have to remove all that, get alone with God, and start hearing his voice. And it sounds like that's where you're at, and it's beautiful. And I'm sure you could tell everyone in the chat, it's life-changing, right? When you start hearing the voice of God and then following that voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly like what I've been going through. I feel like God's been telling me like yes a million times, and I'm just like, wait, Lord, I need another confirmation. Because I'm just like, Lord, like, is this my desire, you know? Because, yeah, sometimes I'd be forgetting, like, you know, God be wanting to give us good gifts, but we're just like, would God really want this for me, you know?
Yes, yes. And you have to realize that, like, you deserve it. Actually, let me say it again. I said it wrong. I said it backwards. You have to realize you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. See, a lot of times God gives us something good, and we think, I don't deserve it. And we're right. We don't deserve it. So don't worry about if you're good enough or not good enough. Everything God gives us is undeserved by grace. So I don't deserve the platform God's given me. I don't deserve salvation. I deserve hell. I mean, literally, that's where I should have been going, and God gave me heaven instead. So don't think like, well, you know, I'm not good enough, all that. Yeah, that's the case. That's why God is blessing us. Like, God wants to bless us. He's a good father. And I don't look at my kids and say, well, I'm not going to feed you because you don't deserve it. I'm not going to buy you something because you don't deserve it. I'm like, no, I want to bless my kids. I want to give them things. And so, yeah, I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of God's blessing, and just God wants to bless you. God's a good father and wants to give us good things.
Amen. I even thought about that scripture too. But praise the Lord. That
awesome.
Like really answered a lot of my questions.
Awesome. Well, thanks for asking. It was a great question. And I'm sure a lot of people watching are struggling to hear clearly the voice of God. We're all on the journey. We're all learning. And so thanks for sharing that, because I'm sure it helped a lot of people.
God bless you.
God bless you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, Ramona, I saw you in the chat saying you can't watch the studio because the lights hurt your eyes. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Maybe they're too bright or something. I don't know. But we're going to pray, God, you'd heal Ramona's eyes so that bright lights would not hurt her eyes, and you would just touch her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, you have photophobia. I don't know what that is, but you can maybe explain it to us, because I'm interested on why you're not able to watch. Great question, hearing the voice of God. God speaks in mysterious ways. That's not a cliche. It's literally a thing. And for many of you watching, you probably are hearing God. You just aren't recognizing it's God. So, yeah, just step out, hear the voice, and it's a great thing when you start hearing the voice of God, or you start realizing you're hearing the voice of God. Yeah, everyone's saying put on glasses. That could help. That could definitely help. All right, here we go. Next caller. We're bringing in Wendy on Zoom, connecting to audio. Oh, it's light sensitivity. I wonder if you can just dim your screen. Wendy, how are you?
Hi. Yes.
How's it going?
Me?
Yeah. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time to call.
Hi, thank you. This is my first time actually tuning into a live, so
I wasn't sure
if I did it right.
Yeah, you did. That's awesome. Your first time watching and you got into the call. That's really cool.
Yeah. I prayed because I'm in need of some guidance. I'm like a lamb without a shepherd, so to speak. So
I hear you. Well, what's going on?
Okay, so Father, please help me. So I've been I became a Christian in 2020. I was away from church for 20 years.
Wow.
Long spiel. But I went to several different churches because I had a crazy encounter with God, and my walk has been very passionate and fire and visions and dreams and a lot of stuff. And so I had been looking for a church for a long time. The Holy Spirit would lead me to different churches, and I would think that's my church. And he would say, no, you're to pray for this church, because my whole life has been prayer since I became a Christian. And I was told apparently I'm an intercessor. I didn't know what to call it. So anyways, I finally found a church, and I thought, you know, this is my church. I've been going there now for 2 years, but I see something sometimes in the spirit, and I've been seeing things and recognizing things, and I'm not petty. I'm not looking to leave a church for silly reasons. But I felt like in my prayer room a couple nights ago, like, you need to leave. Your time is up. You need to leave this church because something had happened. And I'm so confused because I don't want to be disobedient to the Lord. It falls in line kind of with what you spoke to with Jasmine, I guess. I watched one of your videos on when to leave a church. And so I watched that today and I'm like, no, I need more clarity. So I was going into the pre-service prayer meeting every Sunday morning. I mean, like every Sunday morning, that was one thing that I was looking for in a church, was a prayer room. And I would go into this prayer meeting and the groanings of the Holy Spirit would take over and I would get kind of loud in the prayer room, but I wasn't trying to disrupt anything. It was just groanings. And I would just, the Holy Spirit would show me things. And I would just, it was just, my heart would break and these groaning sounds would come out. And sometimes it would start before I even got to the prayer room. I would be weeping in the car on the drive. And so I did, you know, I this happened. And so I was told that I was, one of the associate pastors was having a hard time entering into prayer because of my loudness. And so I was called into a meeting and I'm okay with that. I'm open to correction. Please understand. But I didn't understand. And so I was by the lead pastor, I was told, that he would give me a room to go in by myself and I could wail as much as I wanted in that room by myself, but in the prayer room, they wanted me to control it. And so I said, oh, okay. I didn't realize. Now I have read the Bible through a lot in the 3 years that I've been a Christian. I've read it through several times now. And so I was like, but in my mind, I was saying, Lord, but it says, not to quench. I understand tongues in the middle of a service, stuff like that. But I was very confused about this and I was so broken over it. And so then I was called into a meeting with the pastor and his wife. And the wife, the Holy Spirit came on me and I just started speaking. I said, if it's okay, I'm just going to speak freely, if that's okay. And so I started speaking. But before I started speaking, I said, I apologize if my zeal comes across as pride. It's not pride. It's just I'm sometimes the way I talk, I'm passionate. And so I warned them before I spoke. And so I spoke. And then the pastor's wife spoke to me very harshly. And before I'd gone in, the Holy Spirit had given me and my I'm in a prayer group, had given me a word that it will appear as holy, but it is not holy. And so I had gone in and this happened. Now, please understand, I'm not being petty. And if I'm completely wrong, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I have no anger in me whatsoever. And but she had rose up and spoke very harshly to me and accused me of something. Now, that was fine. I said, I apologize and whatnot, and it ended well, and I left. But since then, I've been, like, even before then, I was seeing things where I'm seeing, like, things happening in the church that people are actually massaging the pastor's feet. I saw that one time, and just some weird things. Weird. Yeah, I'm seeing some weird things, but yet they're nice people. I've also had... there's a lot of religious spirits in there. It's a larger church. And I've also been given some looks. People, like, because I'm so excited when I worship the Lord in the service and I my arms are going and I'm happy and they don't really like that. Yeah. And so I've been getting some looks and I've been there, like I said, for 2 years. And many people that were in the prayer room, you know, they would say, like, man, we've been a couple of people, you know, gray-haired mamas, you know, they would say, you know, we've been looking, we're kind of happy that you're here and this, that, but now this has all gone down. And I always hug the pastor's wife every day. I pray for them. The associate pastor, I've seen a spirit of pride on him and I'm afraid to verbalize that to you even, because I'm like, oh, touch not my anointed one. And I'm so scared to like say anything. And the Holy Spirit, I felt, and again, I'm like, I hope this is not the enemy whispering into my mind, but I felt the Holy Spirit saying, no, like these people are being led by something that is false. And I don't know what to do, because I'm like, I felt like the Holy Spirit saying to me like this, to leave. But at the same time, I'm so burdened, because they've been kind to me to a point, and the pastor's been kind, but I'm just seeing some weird stuff. And the Holy Spirit, I felt, was saying, there's like witchcraft in the church, but I don't know if that's true. And I'm just kind of freaking out a little bit. So I don't know if you have any words of advice on me for this.
Yeah. So it's definitely a hard place to be. I have a lot of thoughts. The first thought is, people don't like when somebody's more passionate than them. I will tell you right now, being in church for 13 years, I've been to hundreds of churches. Nobody likes when somebody's in worship, out-worshiping them, out-praying them, more excited than them, especially if you're a pastor. So you have two choices. If you're a pastor, and let's just say, of course, I don't know you, I don't know the full situation, I'm just giving it to you from what you've told me for the last couple minutes. If you're a pastor and you see somebody more passionate, more radical, praying more intense, you know, it seems like they're closer to God on the outside, you can either stoke the fire, throw gas on their fire, and say, we love this, sister. We would love if you'd help us lead a prayer meeting. We want the whole church to be on fire like this. We want the whole church to be worshiping like this. We want everybody to be excited. I see the way you're praying. It's so passionate. I've never seen somebody pray this way. And man, you should be running the prayer meeting. So you could do that. And again, of course, I don't know you, so I'm just telling you based on what you told me. There's that approach, and I'm just being very general here. And then there's the other approach where you're like, it doesn't take all that. You're distracting people. You're scaring people off. People don't like that. Now, if I was the pastor, I'm just going to say it this way. Let me give you an example. We, in one of our revival meetings, we had a guy come and got radically saved, was big time drug guy, all this stuff, radically saved, okay? And he was super radical. He would be screaming, jumping, shouting at the altar. I mean, this was a young guy that had such a wild testimony that God brought him out of. But we had hundreds of people at the revival, and everyone was always distracted by this guy named Matthew. And so I saw it all the time. People would get frustrated. They wouldn't come back. They would leave because they saw him screaming while I was preaching. They saw him jumping up at the altar, all this type of stuff. Well, one day we were having an altar call, and Matthew would always, I kid you not, I never forget this, would be in the middle of the room, the back of the room. Didn't matter where he was. During the altar, he would literally get on his hands and knees and would crawl to the altar desperate, crying, weeping. I mean, I'm talking about full on crawling to the altar. And everybody would stare. People would get offended, all the stuff. And one day, I was on the stage doing the altar call, and I saw him crawling to the altar like he usually did. And I heard the Lord say, Isaiah, remember when you were like that. And I literally broke down and just started crying. And then as a pastor, I'm the pastor. I'm the guy leading the whole revival. I had a choice right there. Do I shut Matthew down? Do I tell him to relax? Do I tell him to calm down? Hey, people are leaving. People aren't coming anymore because Matthew's screaming and shouting and jumping and getting in people's way and all this stuff. Or do I rebuke my entire congregation and say, every one of you should be like Matthew? So I got up there with tears in my eyes, on my knees, got on my knees and said, every one of us should be the way hunger Matthew has. Why are we not that way? I even told the whole congregation, I used to be like that. And I lost my way. I've lost track of where God brought me out of. So that's the two options we have. I'm not trying to be Mr. Humble here, being like, oh, I chose the right option. But most pastors are not going to humble themselves. I honestly think if we want to see revival in the church, I think every pastor in America on Sunday should get on their knees, repent before the congregation and say, guys, I'll be the first one to admit I'm lukewarm. I'm complacent. I have led you guys astray. We have not cried out to God like we should. We've not been radical like we should. It starts with me. I don't know why I keep preaching these dumb sermons about movies and about see you at the night at the movie sermon series. All these sermon series I've been preaching, they're pointless. They don't matter. I've lost my way. We need to get back to repentance. Today, we're not going to preach this Sunday. We're all going to get on our knees and cry out to God. Every one of us in this room, we're going to get on our knees and we're going to cry out to God until we touch him. We're not going to stop until the ark of God is here. That's what I would do if I was a pastor in the most American churches. And if that happened, we would see revival break out. Will that happen? Without God's intervention? No, because men are arrogant. People are prideful. So they don't want to cry out the way God wants us to. They don't want to be desperate. So just from all of that, I would say where you're at, likely they're not going to say, hey, you know, Wendy, we love this and what God is doing in you. Yeah, yeah, it is distracting people. And yeah, people are getting offended. But hey, here's the thing, Wendy. You're not wrong. They are. That's what I would tell people. Right. And I'll talk to them. I'll deal with them. Yeah, so-and-so that's been here for years is offended that you're crying out and you're yelling in this service because you're passionate. I'll talk to them and I'll let them know what God is doing in your life is genuine. It's real. Wendy, we've seen the change in you. We see your humility. You're obviously in this meeting saying, hey, maybe I'm wrong. And that's the thing. When I'm hearing you talk, the first thing I look for is like, is she going to be humble? Is she going to say, hey, maybe I'm wrong? And you did. You said it like 5 times. That's what I see as humility. And that's what I would take the approach of, like, I'll deal with those people, Wendy. You keep crying out to God. You keep doing your groaning. I don't care what it is. God is touching you, obviously. I mean, you're early for prayer. You're obviously hungry for God. I'll deal with those people. Is that going to happen? I wish it would. Probably not. It looks like you've already been in a few meetings. It's probably not going to happen. So likely, you're probably going to have to find somewhere where they're going to accept you for who you are, for what God is doing in you. And they're just going to say, hey, we want this in our church. We love this. And it might not be a big church. Because you got to remember, when you get to that big church level, man, it's a headache with all the bills. And I've been a part of it, you know? And it's the bills and the money. And what if the rich people leave? And what if people don't this? And what if people get offended? And I have had pastors cry to me saying, Isaiah, if I embrace revival, I'll lose my building. And I'm like, do you rather have a big building or do you rather have revival? I personally, Wendy, would rather be under a bridge with 1,000 people than in a nice plush building with 1,000 people and not have revival. I'd rather have revival under a bridge with 1,000 people and God's there than have a plush, massive, you know, $5 million building where God isn't there. But again, when you get to these large churches, and I'm a part of a large church, I'll continue to be a part of a large church. My church doesn't choose that over God's presence, though. And if it did, I wouldn't be a part of the church. So that's where you have to really pray. Lord, is this where you want me? I've just very few times seen somebody that's not in leadership bring reformation to a church. So you're probably going to cause more conflict than reformation. There is going to be people in that church that love you, that want you there, and they're going to be heartbroken if you leave because you're their one shot. You're their one shot to see God move that way in the church, right? And they've been praying, God, bring in some radical people. But if the pastor's not on board, it's probably likely you're going to have to find maybe a smaller church, or there's large churches that are radical. It's just not common. Or maybe a smaller church where you can freely be yourself and express yourself in the way that God is. And I'm assuming, Wendy, I don't know you, right? I'm just going off what you tell me. I believe you. I'm assuming it's God doing that in your life. Of course, I'm not assuming it's something else than God. I'm assuming God is working in you and that in that way. And if that's the case, then they're quenching the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know how else to say. I want to be nice. I don't know them. I don't know you. But it just sounds like you're probably going to have to find, in my opinion, a new church, a new place to worship that's going to accept you for who you are and what God's doing in your life. Because if not, you're just going to feel like a secondhand citizen there, right? You're going to feel like a low class. Yeah. They don't really want me here. I'm the black sheep. And is that God, what God wants? No. Do not, hear me what I'm about to say. Do not go to a church that tolerates you. Go to a church that celebrates you. I will never go to a church that tolerates me. Oh, Isaiah is here. It's like, I don't want to be at that church. I want to be somewhere where they celebrate what God is doing in my life. Hey, we love, Isaiah, what you're doing on your channel. We love the deliverance. We love the miracles. We love revival. Why am I going to go to a church where it's like, oh, Isaiah's there, you know? So anyways, I know I'm going long. I have a lot in my head about your whole question, but I think that you're at a crossroads where it's likely you're just going to have to find a new church because I don't want them killing your fire. I don't want that. You know, I don't want that jumping on you and them discouraging you from going all in for God and being radical for God. I promise you, let me say this last thing and then we'll be done here. I promise you, you're not going to stand before God on judgment day. And I promise you, God is not going to say, Wendy, you were too passionate. You cried too loud. You praised too hard. You lifted your hands too much. That is not going to be coming out of the words of God. God is not going to tell anybody on judgment day they were too radical for him. Because if you go read the Gospels, Jesus was like, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me with everything. Lay it all down. That's radical. So I love your heart. I would just say, keep going after God. I think you do need to stay in a place of humility. And hey, maybe if the pastor's preaching and I'm being too loud, okay, no problem. Maybe I'll, you know, calm down a little bit just to make sure there's no distraction. And I know you don't want to be a distraction in the service. I don't want to be a distraction. No. And you're humble about it. But hey, we're in a prayer meeting. We're supposed to be here praying. How come I can't pray loud? Isn't that what we're supposed to be here for? So that would be my thing is, like, if you're in a prayer meeting, I would just say, man, have at it, you know, have at it. So, yeah. I hope that helps you a little bit in your question.
It does help me. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really do. I really do appreciate your advice.
Absolutely. And now, do you have any social media page or any content you put out? The chat keeps asking, do you have like a page or anything? I don't know. Maybe people want to connect with you.
Well, I have a Facebook. It's private, but if they message me on it, I'll know where they're getting me from. I don't know how do I give that out. Do I just give it out here? Or
whatever your Facebook
chat?
Page is, you could just say it. And then there's some ladies in here that I think want to connect with you, so maybe they can message you or something.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. It's Wendy Holloway Ilyevsky. It's kind of hard, but I will put it in the chat as well.
Okay.
I'll put it in the chat.
So guys, she'll put it in the chat. And then you guys can watch the replay if you want to get her name down and find her and add her and all that stuff.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
God
you
bless
so
you,
much.
Wendy. God bless you. Let me say a quick prayer over you, okay?
Thank you, yes.
Father, I just pray for Wendy. Lord, I pray that you would lead her, guard her, and guide her. I pray, God, that she would guard the flame. That's what I heard the Lord saying for you, Wendy. She would guard the flame that is in her life, God. I pray no one would discourage her, water her down, or quench her fire. But Lord, she would be radical and passionate for you all the days of her life. Lord, let this not discourage her. I pray, God, if you are moving her to a new church, help her find the right church, open the right doors, bring the right people. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would direct her path. And you would just bless my sister Wendy, God, for what you're doing in her life. What a beautiful thing, Lord, that she's serving you again, that she's back in church after 20 years. We bless her. We pray she would guard the fire and just protect her heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Isaiah. Thank you.
Yes, you're a breath of fresh air, Wendy. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. What a story, guys. I'll never forget when God told me that, when I saw Matthew crawling to the altar and God said, remember when you were like that. So yeah, we have to stay humble as pastors and leaders. Like, I don't understand. Are we above not crawling? Am I now, because I'm Isaiah Saldivar, am I above not being on my knees? Should I just never go on my knees anymore because I'm the man of God? No. What are we doing? We need to get on stage and say, God, I repent for being lukewarm right in front of the whole church. Guys, I've lost track of how many times I've done that. And I'm not bragging. I've lost track of how many times I got on my knees and said, God, I repent for my lukewarmness. I need you. I feel like, guys, this is just me. When I stop being like that, the Holy Spirit's gonna lift off of me. I really feel like if I get to a place where I'm arrogant, where you guys don't see me talking like this, where I'm not willing to get on my knees and repent in front of all of you guys, how many times do I get on the stream and I start repenting in my prayers? If I get out of that, God's going to move his hand off me. I'm telling you, God hates pride. God has already told me, Isaiah, if you get prideful, as fast as I gave you this platform, guys, we grew 2.5 million followers in a few years. God says, as fast as I've given you your platform, Isaiah, I'll remove your platform. Don't be like the religious people, Isaiah, and say, well, we're children of Abraham. And John the Baptist says, God can turn these stones into children of Abraham. What do you think? You're special, Isaiah? Because you have a platform or you're some preacher? No, God can replace me instantly. So I got to stay humble, stay low. How low can you go? Stay humble. All right. Sorry, guys. You guys got me fired up going here. Listen, sometimes we take 10 callers. Sometimes we take 5. I don't have to tell you guys. Let's take our next caller here. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from. Hello, are you there? Check 1, 2.
I'm here.
Hello? How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing good. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
I'm Genesis from Texas.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in, Jennifer. You might want to mute me in the back. I could hear you talk twice there. I'll give you a second.
I'm sorry?
It's okay. No, I was just saying if you mute me in the background, I could hear the stream twice.
Oh, that's why I can't. That's why it's like weird.
Yeah, it's confusing you because it's delayed and you're listening on the TV.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No problem.
I was like, this isn't adding up. Okay. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so nice to talk to you. I've been trying to, this is my fourth time calling, trying to get in a call because my life
is I'm glad you got in this time.
I know, but I just want to thank you so much because God, like when I wanted to really be delivered from all my sins, your channel was the first one that was recommended to me on YouTube. Just it came out of nowhere. And
that's
I was like,
awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and like my life was changed forever. And then so basically I was trying to figure out what my purpose was, and I just kept having dreams that I was casting demons out of my house. And I don't want to be the first person to talk about demons, but I guess I am. I'm going to do
that.
Oh,
it's fine. Usually
today.
The whole stream is people asking me about demons. So we're 40 minutes in, 45 minutes in. So I'm glad you're the first person. That's fine.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so basically, I just, after having those dreams, it started last year, the beginning of last year. Then the end of last year, demons actually started to come in my house. And I never felt the presence of a demonic spirit before. But remember Job chapter 4, verse 12, I believe it is, when they said that an evil spirit came and then his hair stood up and everything like that. So one day I was just watching Delafe. You know, do you remember on YouTube where you like, yeah.
Yeah, I know them. They're friends of mine. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was just watching people in there. And then all of a sudden, there's this light that turns on under my kitchen counter, and you have to wave your hand in order for it to turn on. So I was just sitting on the couch, and then I saw it turn on out of nowhere. And then I heard, get ready to call Jesus. And I was like, what? And I was like, I ignored it because I never heard that before in my life. So then I just continued watching the testimonies. And then all of a sudden, I felt this presence coming into the room. And it smelled like skunk and like smoke and basically like sulfur, like what they say demons smell like. And my hairs like stood up. And then I started saying, Jesus. Jesus. And then I heard rebuke it. So then I thought of all the videos that I watched of you rebuking demonic forces because I never saw that before. And then I was like, what did he say? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
That's
awesome.
I was
just trying to say whatever I could say. And then all of a sudden the smell disappeared. And then after that, this happened 3 more times. And I called my mom and asked her, like, why did this keep happening to me? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe it's all those demonic videos you're watching. Because I was watching you and, you know, you talk about demons. And I was just trying to figure out more about that lifestyle of Satan and how he attacks us and basically his plan and how he gets us without us understanding. So I just wanted to understand more about how he works, basically. And then I said, okay, let me stop watching those videos. So then I just started watching more videos about God and how to, you know, fulfill your will in your life. And then I called my dad and asked him because he had to he's been through that. He's been rebuking demonic forces and stuff like that in church for the longest now. And then he said, it was probably because I had attached one to myself from my past sins, and I was about to get married, and the demon probably didn't want me to get married. And then I was like, okay, so let me repent for everything that I've done and just ask God to fully remove this demon out of my life. And so I did. I got on my knees. I repented for everything, like everything that I could think of that I did bad. And then I thought I was all good. I even made a testimony on TikTok about it because I thought I was, like, fine. And then, like, a month later, I was in the bathroom doing my hair. And the same presence comes out of nowhere. And I was like, what the heck? That's literally what I said before I started rebuking it again. I was like, you again? Like, what? I thought I got rid of you. And I was, like, just confused as to what. Like, did I do something wrong? Is it because of something I'm doing that's causing this demon to keep coming back?
Who lives in your house with you? Are you the only one that lives there?
It's me and my husband and my dog.
Okay.
But yeah, I pray over my dog and everything.
Say it again.
I pray over my dog and cover him in the blood of Jesus too, just so you know.
Yeah, I would say if you are watching a lot of deliverance content, especially for the first time, it's in your mind, you're learning about it. And of course, it's all according to scripture. It's all according to the Bible. Jesus cast out demons everywhere he went. It's not a bad thing, but that's what you're going to be thinking about. It's like anything. If you watch videos about cars for hours and hours a day, you're going to be thinking about cars. If you watch videos about football, some of you guys out there, hello, you're going to be thinking of football or soccer or anything, any sport, any hobby, any activity, boating, doesn't matter. You're going to think about that. So that could be some of the stuff is you're thinking a lot about deliverance. You're dreaming about it. Some of those could be from God. Some of them could just be you're dreaming about it because you're watching content on it and your eyes are being open to something you never had your eyes open to before. So when you start learning about the spiritual realm, deliverance, demons, angels, whatever, you're now learning about a realm that is real, that controls pretty much everything that you never knew about before. So it's like a curtain's opening up and you're just like, wow, I didn't know that existed. Now so much stuff in life makes sense. So you're starting to get into that realm. But here's another thing to think about. You're now a threat to the kingdom of darkness. The devil didn't care about you before. You weren't threatening him. You didn't even care about him or know about him. And those demons weren't threatened by you. Now that you're learning about spiritual warfare, you're praying deliverance, all of this, the demons are getting mad. Now that you're talking about them, now that you're praying against them, they've been hiding, doing their own thing. They don't want you to know they're there. Demons don't want you to know they're there. They don't want you to know they're real. Now that you know they're there, you know they're real, they don't care anymore about hiding. So now they're tormenting you because they used to just hide and do whatever they wanted behind the scenes. But now you're like, oh no, I know that you're there. So they're exposing themselves and tormenting you. Most people wouldn't have that experience because they don't believe in demons or think they're real. And the devil doesn't want people to think he's real. That's his greatest lie. He doesn't exist. So now that you're exposing that and you're realizing these things are real in your life, they're manifesting themselves, making themselves known. It's not like they're appearing now and they weren't before. It's that they were hiding before and now you're exposing them to the light of Christ. And now you're realizing you have authority over them. So that's what's really happening. And yeah, maybe you need some deliverance. Maybe you should go through deliverance and this stuff might subside. Maybe those demons have just been in your house for years and you need to just continue to purge your house and command them to leave your house. People are like, well, where is it in the Bible commanding demons to leave your house? Matthew 12, Jesus says demons call us their house and us their home. Now, is it possible demons dwell in a building? Of course it is. The Bible says in Revelation that there was a city where Satan had his throne. So Satan actually had a city that he lived in. So yeah, demons can live in cities, states, houses, people, animals. We know demons went into pigs in the Bible. So why can't they live in houses, right? And if they live in a house, then we're going to cast them out of the house. I don't need a Bible scripture to tell me, cast a demon out of your home. If a demon's in my home and I have the authority of Christ to cast demons out of people, then of course I'm going to command the demon to leave my house, right? So like, yeah, people are looking, where's the scripture about commanding a demon to leave your house? Well, if you have a demon in your house, are you just going to hang out with it because you don't have a Bible verse telling you to tell it to leave? No, we're going to command it to leave in Jesus' name and we're going to see it leave. So same thing with like cursed items and demons that, you know, are attached to items, just command the demons to leave. So that's what I would do. And you're doing that and that's great. And it's likely, you know, these demons are leaving your house and they're not just going to keep coming back. You just probably have demons that were there from your past, from past sins or past things or things that happened at the house maybe before you moved in. And now you're cleaning out the house, getting rid of these demons. And yeah, you're learning about deliverance. You're seeing yourself get delivered. You're having dreams of delivering other people. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. This whole taboo of, oh, don't talk about demons. We're talking about them to cast them out. Like, that is literally why we're talking about them. Everything we talk about in deliverance is deliverance. It's getting the demons out of people. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing. If it was bad, then why did Jesus do it literally every city he went to? Why does Mark 1:39 said he went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons? I want to be like Jesus, right? I want to fulfill the Great Commission. I want to be his ambassador according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'm going to do what Jesus did. Like, it's so simple, but it's so profound. That's where you're at. So if I would give you advice about all this, keep commanding the demons to leave if they show up. You know, tell them they have no power. Do what you've been doing. I don't need to coach you. You're already saying the right words. You've been watching the videos. You've seen the training. But yeah, if you feel like you're constantly thinking about demons, all that, then watch other content. We have 1,800 videos, and I think our deliverance playlist is like 60 or 70. So out of 1,800, 60, 70 are about deliverance. There's a bunch of other videos on the book of Romans, on the book of Revelation. There's videos on prayer. There's videos on the book of Ephesians. There's videos on the entire book of John. Like, hey, take a break from the deliverance content and go watch some of our other content on our live tab. And till you feel like, okay, I was watching too many deliverance videos. And that happens to a lot of people when they start learning about deliverance. They read the books, they think about it a lot and learn about it. But yeah, you're on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing. Get through that deliverance. Continue to pray God to deliver you, and God will use you to deliver other people as well.
Mm-hmm. But I did stop watching those videos after my mom told me to stop. Because she was right about that. Like watching them is an open door for them to come in. She was just giving an example of like scary movies. If you watch,
oh,
scary
what
movies.
Videos were you talking about? Were you talking about actually like horror movies and scary movies you were watching?
No, I wasn't watching horror movies. I was just watching like, you know, people get delivered by demons, or you know, the witchcraft,
like Christian videos.
Yeah, all of those.
Yeah, I don't believe those are open doors. The open door to demons are sin. Yeah, watching a video about deliverance or even watching somebody get delivered is not an open door to a demon. Sinning is an open door to a demon. So you're not going to get demons from watching like Christian videos like we have about like a witch got saved or somebody got delivered or a deliverance training video. That will never get you a demon. We know Jesus did deliverances in front of a bunch of people. We know Philip did deliverances in front of a bunch of people. So that's definitely a traditional misconception that if you watch videos of deliverance, you'll get a demon. Or if you go to a service where people are getting delivered, a demon will jump on you. None of that. That all sounds good, but it's not biblical. We know Jesus was doing deliverance in crowds of people. There was kids there. There was families there. He didn't take people and say, we got to go to the back room. He was doing it in crowds. So was Philip in Acts chapter 8. And the Bible says demons were screaming out of people as they left, and there was great joy in the city. So that's definitely a misconception. I thought you were saying you were watching scary movies, but yeah, you're not going to get it from watching deliverance videos. But if you feel like you're becoming hyper obsessed with like demons, then definitely take a break from watching it. But you definitely won't get a demon from watching deliverance videos.
I talk about them a lot now because of the instances. Like, this happened like 7 times now. Like, I just counted in my head. It happened 7 times where the same demon came. I anointed my house. You know, I opened the doors and I said, no evil can live here. But what was weird was one night I was about to go to sleep, but I wasn't asleep yet. I know I wasn't asleep. I just closed my eyes. So I don't know if it was a vision or not. But I saw this demonic force, and it was, like, all black. It had scales on it. It had black horns, like a snake tongue, and sharp teeth and, like, sharp claws. And it was, like, tiptoeing with a smile on its face to my husband's side of the bed. And I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you cannot be here. You have to leave. And then it came back a second time. I said the same thing. The third time I said the same thing, and then it like hissed at me and finally left. So I don't know if it's like my husband is doing something, but he just goes to work and comes home. So that's why I don't understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, honestly, like, sometimes the best thing you can do is just ignore them. Even if they show up, they want attention, they want to fear, make you afraid. Sometimes just ignoring them works. But I definitely think the advice would be, yeah, maybe take a break from watching the deliverance testimonies, the ex-witch testimonies, and just continue to watch videos on prayer, hearing the voice of God, fasting, holiness, you know, revival, and then God will bring it back around, and God will bring you the chances to do deliverance and all that good stuff, okay?
Okay. Thank
all right,
you
thank you so
much
for calling in.
Have a great day.
God bless you, sister. Take care.
You too.
Great question. I know she's been calling for 3 weeks, she said, so I'm glad that she got in. We're going to call it there. I think we only got through 4 people. I know we're going an hour on these. We are an hour in, guys. I'm sorry. But we have a partner's prayer call at 1:30 now. So we do have a 1:30 prayer call. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.